Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
$9.15, get them early. Man, I'm telling you, when it comes to kids and education, kids want to learn. They need to learn, but they need direction. And here's what we know, and this comes from statistics from our guest. If you don't have a kid who can read at grade level by third grade, they're four times less likely to graduate high school by the age of 19. And the rest of their life is impacted. So on that heavy note, we start with Brenda Langstreet from WITS. What is WITS?
WITS stands for Working in the Schools. Mm-hmm. It's an organization that's been around for 26 years, serving students in Chicago public schools and elementary schools.
Is it true that you guys have a bigger footprint in regards to literacy training in Chicago than anybody else?
We do. We're in 90 schools. We're serving thousands of students. We advance our students with their literacy skills and their life skills by activating volunteers to become literacy mentors for our students. So these are volunteers who are working one-on-one with students every week, sometimes twice a week. We also train teachers in our Rochelle Lee Teacher Award program. So really training teachers in literacy best practices.
Well, you know, I feel for teachers, right? Because teachers have never had larger classrooms, have been expected to do more with less.
Mm-hmm. Right, and with fewer literacy resources sometimes, access to books that are, you know, new and diverse and super cool for the kids, right? We want our students to be engaged in the books they're reading. So what we do for our teachers is we give them really great professional development during the summer. They start to mentor each other. It's like, you know, teachers leading other teachers to become great in the classroom. What we're also doing is providing classroom libraries. So they have libraries within their classroom where the students can check out books.
So physical books as opposed to digital?
Physical books. You know, what we find is students still just want to pick up books and read actual books, have that feeling of turning the page, even our older students.
Sure. And there's a sense of pride, too, I think, with kids, especially kids that come from challenged families or neighborhoods, to actually have that book in their hands.
To have the book in their hands. So we have the classroom libraries. We also send books home with students twice a year, brand new books. So they have that pride of ownership, right?
This is like off the
first one opening this book.
This is off the path a little bit, but I always felt like we should have a cohesive way for folks to donate books to inner city schools and stuff. Is there one that I'm not aware of?
There is one. There are a number of organizations. You know, WITS buys new books for students so that they're really kind of building their at-home libraries.
Yep.
But there are organizations like Open Books and Bernie's Book Bank that accept donations and then distribute those books to students in Chicago public schools.
Which is a great idea.
Absolutely.
Are we teaching kids to read the right way?
I think so. My background.
Is it different than when I was in school?
I think a lot of things are different. You know, literacy.
Electricity now. And
electricity, there's that. And we talked about voicemail earlier, right? So, you know, I think the importance of literacy now more than ever, and you mentioned the third grade benchmark. You know, our programs are really geared toward supporting students as they learn to read and then make that transition to reading to learn, right? And that's when the spark happens. And then that's the foundation of all learning, of science and technology and engineering and math and the arts. You know, once you're literate, once you really understand and can comprehend, then you're able to process other information and you get excited about learning. You become curious. You want to know more.
It's the first time I've heard it put that way, but it's so obvious. I mean, you can't play golf until you learn how to play golf. You can't drive a car until you learn how to drive a car.
All athletics. It's the foundation.
So you have to learn how to read to get the benefits from reading and then get out there and read every day.
Right. And then you can really learn and the trajectory changes at that point. So that's why that third and fourth grade benchmark is so important. So WITS programs are pre-K through eighth grade. So we support students all the way through that literacy continuum. And, you know, in our world now more than ever, in a world of, you know, email and texting and Twitter and all of the social media, it's more important than ever that our students become literate so they understand nuance in language. And that they can, you know, really digest information that they're finding on the internet and, you know, understand what is valuable information and what is not valuable information.
Talking to Brenda Langstreet, WITS, what's the website?
WITSChicago.org.
And you've been doing this in the schools for how long?
26 years. WITS has been in the schools for 26 years. Started by two volunteers who got to know a teacher, and the teacher said, I need help in my classroom. And they showed up and started reading to students.
So you're a welcome addition. It's not like you're getting any pushback.
No, no. In fact, we're privately funded, completely privately funded. So Chicago Public Schools, you know, does not give us money. And that's a philosophical choice on behalf of WITS. So we're not a vendor of CPS or of our individual schools. So when there are budget cuts or difficult choices to be made on what services the children have, they never have to decide whether or not WITS continues.
So you don't cost any money and you're helping. Wow.
There you go. Look at that.
How about that? What a crazy idea.
It's such an exciting time at CPS, too. Dr. Janice Jackson, who's now at the helm of CPS, is a rising rock star in urban public education.
She came into a really tough situation and has just been great.
Oh, she's innovative. She's a visionary. And the team that she's putting together, the new director of literacy is Jane Fleming, and she is a star. And so we're working on a number of possible collaborations and innovations to even deepen the impact of the work that WITS is doing, but also engaging other organizations, especially in the literacy space, to really see what we can do citywide.
Is the key making sure that kids have access to subjects which interest them, if you want them to read?
That's exactly it. That's how our teachers and our volunteers are trained to really, you know, engage the students in what they're interested in and let them read all about that, right? My first year volunteering with a student in WITS, when I first started at WITS, he was a third grader. He didn't want to read. He felt he was bad at reading, so he didn't want to do it. Super into sharks. So we found every book we could. And we read about sharks for the entire... I know too much about sharks.
So it's like vegetables. If you don't know they're good for you and you like the taste, you eat them, and then suddenly you're doing something that's good for you.
There you go.
Sharks fooled them.
We hook these kids, right? And so our volunteers and teachers, as I mentioned, are really trained to give students that opportunity to choose, because so many times in education, they're not. So many things are required of them.
Every little kid I see who is so hungry to learn, it makes me sad to hear the third grader was that self-conscious. Are kids that self-conscious at 8?
Well, you know...
Or was that kid an exception, maybe?
At those ages, in the third and fourth grade, is when students are really finding their identity, right?
So you're getting some of that peer pressure already?
They're getting some of the peer pressure.
Wow.
They're seeing they're figuring out what their identity is out of the family structure, right? And so there's a real opportunity in those grades, and you know, the opportunity window kind of starts to shrink as they get older, to say, you know, your identity can be as a reader. And in academics, your first identity needs to be as a reader. Then you believe you can do all these other things. So that, you know, there's the literacy skills part of what we do, but then there's also that positive self-identity. You know, so even what I did with the student is like, you can read.
Right.
You just need to read about something that you're interested in.
Right.
And that when our volunteers see that confidence level goes up, that's where the impact
is. Yeah,
that's really
a home run.
That's
right.
We'll
tell you how you can help. WITS will come back. And Dave, by the way, is very interested in sports. So if you have something in sports, you might be able to tune him up a touch.
I have subjects, interests that go beyond sports. Not real
sports and booze.
No, not sports.
Our new best friend, Brenda Langstrat, is here. Brenda's the boss. Are you the boss at WITS? Can I call you the boss? Can I call you the boss?
The title indicates that I'm the boss. I don't always feel that way. You know, I feel more like I support the great work that the staff and board are doing.
And how many people are with you?
17 of us full-time, and then we have a number of part-time people who help us out actually in our schools.
17 people scrambling through 80 or 90 schools. I'm guessing they're busy.
They are busy people. We are streamlined. It's operational excellence.
All right. So we were talking about how magic this 7 or 8 year old period is, and how you really have to have kids reading at grade level by third grade.
Yeah.
I love this, you know, get them interested in something that they like to hook them on reading. Mm-hmm. But what if you have a kid that's dyslexic or a kid that's got a special issue? What do you do then?
You know, so we do have a number of teachers who, you know, are supporting those students in the classroom. Our volunteer programs, are for the students who are kind of in that frustration gap and are not quite there. Those that need specialized support, our teachers are directly working with. But we do have many teachers in our Rochelle Lead Teacher Award program that we're supporting in that way and guiding them on how to work with those students.
And is Chicago exceptional in how you guys are doing this, or are there models of this around the country?
You know, there are models of, there are similar programs around the country in terms of activating volunteers to go in and work with students. WITS is unique, and there's no other organization like us in the nation, because we're integrating that teacher professional development with the literacy mentorship. And we're really careful in not calling our volunteers tutors, because our programs aren't tutoring programs. It's literacy mentorship. So it's really all of those great benefits of mentorship based in what it means to read and learn together.
Sure.
And they're working, and there's consistency. They're working with the same students throughout the year. So that relationship is being formed, where many tutoring programs are volunteers going in and working with whichever students, you know, are available to work with.
70% of WITS students reported improvement in overall attitude about reading, and attitude's a huge deal.
Attitude is a very big deal. It is a key indicator of academic success, that confidence building. You know, the first identity that a student has, and like, you know, that I can learn, is I'm able to read. When young people say I can't read, or they're frustrated, that frustration is going to take over any sure. ability that they have to get to where they need to be, right?
And as you said off the air, they'll fill that gap with something else.
They'll fill that.
That's not so healthy.
Exactly. If they're not identifying as reader by 8 or 9 years old, they're already seeking another identity, seeking another place to fit in. That's why that transition is so critical. And then also for our 4th through 6th graders, our 4th through 8th graders even, giving them that additional support to kind of like, you know, understand that being literate and reading opens the world to them. And so our after-school programs are for 4th through 8th graders. We bring them downtown and, you know, we expose them to corporate offices, to university settings.
Dave?
What's the biggest threat to literacy? You're taking care of the funding part of it, but is it technology? Is it lack of funding? What is the biggest threat?
Oh, that's a great question. You know, I think that there are so many distractions, you know, compared to when many of us were growing up.
Right. Mm-hmm.
There are fewer distractions. We read books. We called people on landlines. Steve, as you were saying, we rode our bikes to our friends'
right.
homes.
We left voicemails, Dave.
We yes. left voicemails. Yes. Some of us still do. Yeah. But it's really that attention span has been shortened because of technology, right? So it takes a different level, I think, for all of us in this world of technology to slow down and to focus and to remember that engaging in narrative, engaging in text and really good books and losing ourselves in that way. The British writer Neil Gaiman talks about this a lot, that we need to daydream. We need to lose ourselves in books.
Amen,
and we need to digest
Amen.
Information.
Just time to think every day.
That's right. That's right. And I think that that's something that we have an opportunity to do in working with young people and to model that for them. You know, I even think I do that with our staff team sometimes. You know, they should see me walking around the office every once in a while, actually, like with my face in a book, because I want to finish whatever chapter.
Sure.
You know, and so that's what we train our teachers to do too. When they're asking, when they have their free reading time for their students, that they are sitting down and reading as well, not using that time to catch up on email. And
yeah, because I had an agent whose wife was just a fantastic woman, but whenever friends would come over for dinner or kids who were grown would come home, she had a wicker basket. You gave her your cell phone when you walked in.
Yes.
You gave her your cell phone when you walked in. You got it back when you left. You weren't going to go check texts. You weren't going to go check emails.
Right.
You were going to engage in conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to care about each other. You're going to catch up on each other. Mm-hmm. And that's a big deal, because I find myself sometimes having to tell myself, you don't
yes.
need to be looking at a news stream now, at a news right. feed now. You don't need a news aggregator for tomorrow's show. You need to put the phone away. And it's not even about meditation. It's just taking 10 minutes to just let your mind wander.
It's taking that time, and you engage with people and your world differently. You know, I know for me, I've been, you know, more disciplined in leaving my phone in my bag. So even when I'm walking around the city, I'm looking up.
Yeah,
you know,
crazy
how often do we actually look up? And I think, you know, so with our younger students, we have the opportunity to catch them when they're young and to, you know, model that this is a more fulfilling way to live.
How do we help you?
We always
I mean, you'll take
volunteers.
Money. You'll take money,
we
won't
will
you?
Take money again.
Okay.
We are completely privately funded, no fee from our schools or from the Chicago Public Schools. So we rely on donations at all levels.
Can we donate online?
You can donate online, witchchicago.org, and we need volunteers. You know, we can serve as many students as we have volunteers. So all of our volunteer opportunities are listed online. There are so many different ways to volunteer. We have our volunteer managers' information online. online, and she would be happy to talk to any of your listeners who are interested, and we would love to.
Is it a big deal training up to go volunteer?
We do an initial training, and then we provide training throughout the year, but our programs are really supported. We have a program coach, a coordinator at every site to support those good relationships and to, you know, help support the students.
And do you have people who can donate different amounts of time, like somebody can do a bunch of time, somebody can do once a week, that kind of thing?
Absolutely. We have weekend programs, we have summer programs. So there are lots of ways to give, and there are lots of ways to give of your time. Many of our volunteers will say that they feel more fulfilled than the impact that they're having.
That's
I will say the impact is big.
Yeah, because you're changing a kid's life and you're making the world a better place.
And it's just so cool to engage with these kids. And, you know, I'm now in my 6th year of volunteering in the program, along with actually working for the organization. And every year has been just so different. And I have learned so much in the process.
Very impressive.
Thank you.
I was wondering if you'd make the top 5 guest list. You're solid. You're in.
That was my goal. I'm so excited. Yeah. Y'all are the best.
Specific rankings. We'll let you know when you're out. Website again is?
WITSChicago.org. And please follow us on social media, too. We're WITSChicago on all social media platforms.
We will. Nice to meet you, and I hope we can help you again.
Great meeting you. I'll wait to see where I land in the top 5.
Yeah, good luck with that.